Words for Life today is by Reverend Brian Harper from Noble Park Evangelical Baptist Church.
This year marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation. Martin Luther ignited that great movement when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517. The flame that Luther lit that day spread throughout Europe and around the world. What was on the heart of this man, and what was at the heart of the Reformation? For my answers, I'm turning to a little book by Frank W. Borum, who for some time was the pastor at the Armadale Baptist Church here in Melbourne. His little book is entitled A Bunch of Everlastings, and subtitled Texts That Made History. In his delightful book, Borum has written a series of essays on famous Christian leaders, highlighting the biblical text that featured in their lives. So what was Luther's text? What was the text that made him? It is a text that is found four times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, then three times in the New Testament. Interestingly, it echoes itself three times also in the experience of Luther. It was in Wittenberg, in the retirement of his quiet cell as a young monk, that Luther was poring over the Apostle Paul's letters to the Romans. And he came across the quotation that Paul uses from the Old Testament from the prophet Habakkuk, and the text, "The just shall live by faith." Those words captivated him. And this precept, say the historians, fascinated him. "For the just, then," Luther said to himself, "there is a life different from that of other men." Years pass. Luther travels. He comes to the Benedictine convent at Bologna, and there he's overtaken by a serious sickness. And during this time, the sense of his own personal sin troubled him. The prospect of judgment filled him with dread. But at the very moment when those terrors reached their height, like a bright ray from heaven, he remembered those words, "The just shall live by faith." We see him next on his knees, the good Saxon monk painfully creeping up the steps of Pilate's staircase, which, he was told, was miraculously transported from Jerusalem to Rome. He crawls forward, upward, step by step, believing that with each step he takes, with each sharp pain he experiences, with each drop of blood, he would gain merit and hopefully an entrance to heaven itself. But he shudders at himself. Again there is this torment. Has he done enough? Has he suffered enough? Has he done it well enough? Once again, in the midst of that torment, he hears those words, "The just shall live by faith." And he rises and flees far from this scene of his folly. To Luther's sensitive mind, every thought of God was a thing of terror. "When I was young," he tells us, "it happened that at Eisleben, on Corpus Christi Day, I was walking with the procession when, suddenly, the sight of the Holy Sacrament, which was carried by Dr. Staupitz, so terrified me that a cold sweat covered my body, and I believed myself dying of terror." All through his convent days, Luther proceeds upon the assumption that God gloats over his misery. His life is a long, drawn-out agony. He creeps like a shadow along the galleries of the cloister, the walls echoing with his dismal groanings. His body wastes to a skeleton. His strength ebbs away. On more than one occasion, his brother monks find him prostrate on the convent floor and pick him up for dead. And all the time he thinks of God as one who can find delight in these continuous torments. "The just shall live," he says to himself, "by penance and by pain. The just shall live by fasting. The just shall live by fear." "Fear," Luther mutters to himself every day of his life. But then the text comes again. "The just shall live by faith." And that text comes and breaks upon him like a light from heaven. "By fear? By fear? No, 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 no. By faith. By faith." And with the coming of the text, Luther passes from the realm of fear into the realm of faith. It is like passing from the rigors of an Arctic night into the sunshine of a summer day. It is like passing from a crowded city slum into the fields where the daffodils dance and the linnets sing. It is like passing into a new world. It is like entering paradise. Yes, it is like entering paradise. The expression is Luther's. He continues, "Before those words broke upon my mind," he says, "I hated God and was angry with him because, not content with frightening us sinners by the law and by the miseries of life, he still further increased our torture by the gospel. But when, by the Spirit of God, I understood these words, 'The just shall live by faith,' the just shall live by faith, then I felt born again like a new man. I entered through the open door into the very paradise of God. Henceforward," he says again, "I saw the beloved and holy scriptures with other eyes. The words that I had previously detested, I began from that hour to value and to love as the sweetest and most consoling words in the Bible. In very truth, the just shall live by faith. The words of the text was to me the true gate of paradise, an open door into the very presence of God. The just shall live by faith." Martin Luther's text. Faith. True faith. What is it? Well, true faith changes our whole perspective. This is what we learn from Martin Luther and from all the hosts of history who have believed God. It changes our whole outlook on ourselves and our circumstances and on our world. And true faith stands on the promises of God and is fed by the faithfulness of God. Faith, said Luther, faith is a gift of God. It's an element of his grace to us. This faith, as Luther maintained, is an operative grace. It is an overcoming grace. And ultimately, it is a victorious grace. May God grant that it be ours, that we too, like Luther, might know and delight and rejoice in the assurance that the just shall live by faith.